It's so wonderful to think about heaven, what it's going to be like. And you know, that third stanza, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. So while we're here waiting for the Lord to come back, waiting for our time to go, let's keep trusting and serving every day. Tonight, the Lord has led me to preach on Psalm 27. This is our Psalm of Meditation this week. And I may have a message or two more on idols of the heart, but I just didn't have a piece about it. There were just some things that the Lord has dealt with me about this week. And, you know, it's troubling to see what's happening anywhere you look today. It doesn't look good when you watch the news and see COVID rates are increasing and see all the things happening at the border, and just a lot of things that it can easily discourage one's heart. And so we're going to look at Psalm 27 tonight, and looking at the topic of the psychological tactics of the enemy. The psychological tactics of the enemy. The main idea of the message tonight is going to be our enemy, the devil, he uses psychological tactics to discourage us in our mission with Christ. And I'm going to show you how he does that tonight and some of the tactics that he uses. You know, psychological warfare, it's a very common tactic that's used in with armies for centuries. It's been used to dismay and discourage the opposing side in a time of war. Those of you that served in the armed forces, you know this to be a fact, that this is how warfare operates, using psychological warfare. It's known today by different names, PSYOPs. You probably have heard that one of recent times, and military information support operations, or political warfare. And so it's not uncommon. This is a tactic that is used against enemies in warfare. As we think of this term PSYOP, a psychological operation, it's shortened to PSYOP. It's used to denote any action which is practiced mainly by psychological methods with the aim of evoking a planned psychological reaction in other people. You know, that's kind of a wordy definition, but that's what I found as I was looking at PSYOPs. And so, as you think about it, it's using psychological methods. It's psychological meaning pertaining to the mind. Using attacks on the mind to evoke a planned psychological reaction in other people. You know, I believe with all my heart today that PSYOPs are taking place politically. I'm not going to go into that, but I believe it's happening. I mean, the government and everything with the political environment we've been in the last year or two, the COVID pandemic, these are things that the government has used for PSYOPs to create fear and to get people to respond to this. And these are real ops that are taking place today, I believe. That's just my personal opinion. But tonight, it should not surprise us that our enemy, the devil, he's the one that we're warring against. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's talking about the devil and all of his principalities and powers. We are warring against spiritual wickedness in high places. It shouldn't surprise us that the devil uses psychological warfare against us. You know, I can think of two verses. There's many, but two that I'd like to share. Peter 5:8 is one, where he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Be sober. You know, this not only means not to be intoxicated, but it means to be of a sound mind. Be vigilant. That means to be watchful. Watch. Be aware of what's going on. Have an alert mind. Why do you think he would tell us, Peter, writing over 2,000 years ago? Because the devil uses psyops. He attacks us in our minds. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So Paul uses the term ignorant. He said, we're not ignorant of his devices. In other words, we have to know with our mind his tactics in order for him not to get advantage over us. So we need to be vigilant as followers of Christ and not let Satan get an advantage of us. And so I'd like to read this psalm, Psalm 27. And as we read it, I want you to remember that every victory psalm was written on the battlefield. What I mean by that is David wrote this song of trust after having been through the battle, after having engaged in warfare with his enemies. And sometimes we'll read psalms like this and think, oh, David, he's just strong in faith. He's someone I wish I could be. But we need to understand that he didn't write this psalm until he went through the battle and he went through these different discouragement and fear and different things that we're going to talk about tonight. He went through those things, but through his trust in God, he was able to get victory. And so then he writes the song of victory. So I want you to keep that in mind, that it's written on the battlefield. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. for he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful psalm, this psalm of trust. As David went through the battle with his enemies, he grew through this experience and this battle experience. He grew in his trust. And I'm thankful for this song that he wrote, some principles that we have here tonight to help us to be able to overcome the psyops of our enemy, the devil. I pray, Lord, tonight you would bless your word. I pray you'd use your word to encourage and strengthen the hearts and minds of your children here tonight. Lord, that you would keep our hearts and our minds with peace. Lord, that you would help us to rest in you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight I'm going to focus on three psychological tactics that I believe our enemy uses to discourage us in our mission with Christ. The first one tonight is fear. And I don't know if you noticed when I was reading through this psalm, but the word enemies came up over and over and over again. I don't know if you noticed that. David had a lot of enemies. Just like you and I, we have a lot of enemies. We have Satan and all of his hosts that are fighting against us, psyops against us. And one of the greatest psyops of the devil is fear. I believe it. This is one of his biggest tactics against us, is to get us to fear. There's nothing that will paralyze us like fear. I don't remember who it was that said that fear not or be not afraid is found 365 times in the Bible. I don't know if anyone's ever counted that and checked it out for sure, but it's been a saying for many years. You've probably heard it, but one for every day of the year. Fear not. Fear not. Be not afraid. Over and over and over and over, God wants us to realize that he's not the author of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, as Paul told Timothy, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. But fear is one of the chief strategies used by opposing forces in war. If you study warfare today, you'll find that fear is one of their strategies. They want to get the enemy to fear. If they can get the enemy to fear, the enemy will retreat. The enemy will not have the courage to fight. I think of just some Bible stories. You think of David. You remember when he went to check on his brothers and take them some provisions. And when he got there, there was this giant. Goliath was threatening Israel and mocking God. And David was like surprised that Saul and the armies of Israel had not done anything about the challenge. Come to find out, this was going on for 40 days. This was a test. The number 40 in the Bible means test. Israel was tested 40 days with this fear. They were paralyzed. I mean, here's a guy that's mocking God. I mean, the God of heaven. And they're paralyzed with fear. The enemy had them right where he wanted them. But David, he, through his faith in God, he overcome that fear. And he went and took down Goliath. And remember, he chopped his head off. What happened? All the Philistines were filled with fear. The fear shifted to the Philistines now. The Philistines now were fleeing for their lives, and Israel was able to overtake them and to kill many of these Philistines. See, fear is a real tactic that's used in warfare. And Satan will use it today against God's people. It can be full-blown paranoia. It can be panic attacks. It could be anxiety and worry about even the smallest of things. You know, we can wake up in the morning with the thousands, hundreds of fears in our mind. Fear of the future. Fear of the unknown. Fear of disease. Fear of death. Fear of being alone. Fear of another lockdown. Fear of financial trouble. Fear of the loss of our freedoms. Fear of for our kids' safety and well-being. I'm sure many of your parents had a little bit of fear today as your kids went off to school, especially you that serve on our church that sent kids to junior high for the first time. You know, there's a sense of anxiety about that. You know, you care for your kids, you care for their well-being, and I want to just tell you something that doesn't ever end. When your kids grow up, they become adults, there's still those fears and anxiety about your kids. You're concerned about decisions they make. You're concerned about their well-being. It's something you constantly on a parent's heart and mind. But we have to be careful because this fear can paralyze us. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. This psalm is the Septuagint. It's the Latin version of the Old Testament. It says on the title that it was written before David was anointed. And so it was written sometime before he became king, probably when he was in exile from King Saul, being hunted by King Saul's men. I want you to think about what David went through. I mean, he went through some severe trials, fleeing for his life and constantly having to hide from Saul. And as I said earlier, we may think that David never struggled with fear, but he did. I want you to look at an example in 1 Samuel 27. In 1 Samuel 27, this was during that time of exile, and David was getting weary. He was getting tired. He was getting discouraged. The enemy was working him over. In 1 Samuel 27, verse 1 says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand." Notice what David was saying in his heart. What does that mean? It means that it speaks of his mind, of course, because, you know, the heart is your mind, your will, your emotions. And so he's saying to himself, "I'm going to die. Saul's going to kill me." Instead of setting his heart and his mind on what God said, he's listening to his fears. And so what did he do? He retreated into the land of the Philistines, the enemies of Israel. He did something that Saul could never get him to do. How did it happen? Because of fear. He got paralyzed with fear and he made a wrong decision. I read that there were not any psalms recorded by David during that time period in his life. Why? Because he's away from God. Fear paralyzed him. But I don't know when Psalm 27 was written in this timeline, but I do know this, at this particular time in David's life, he was overcoming his fear with his faith in God. Because let's look at that first verse again. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, this is, we see a heart of faith here. Because David had come to the place to realize that the Lord was his light. You know, darkness is the opposite of light. One of the greatest fears that children and even adults have is darkness. When we were at the retreat, we started early morning. Our first session started at 7 a.m. And so we'd have to get up by 5 a.m. to get ready to have our garden time and everything. But I would go and take a short run, not every day, but I think about three or four days I did. I don't normally run in the morning. I usually run in the afternoon. So I had my little headlamp. The first day, I have to admit, it was scary. You know why? Because I started taking off and the dogs are barking. Like the pastor, he had a house back over these trees and I could hear a dog over there. I thought, oh my goodness, that dog's going to come after me. And so I'm real alert. And I actually was running pretty fast. And every once in a while I was doing this. I was keeping my ears propped up, listening, because in that first day I ran all the way down to the highway, and then you go a little ways up and then there's a road that there's no shoulder on this highway, and so I didn't want to get ran over. And so I went down that little road and it's a cemetery. And I didn't run through the cemetery. I ran about 200 yards and kind of got a little spooky, and I thought, I'm getting out of here. Turn around, go back. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, that's far enough. Yeah, darkness, it's something people fear. In the Bible, it speaks of Satan's kingdom. We're delivered out of, you know, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It speaks of the grave. It speaks of calamities, distress, trouble, even of the unknown, ignorance. But David is saying here, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. You know, I took a walk during the day. There was no fear, because I could see everything. And the Lord is our light. We have nothing and no one to fear. If you can say the Lord is my light, you have no one to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what Paul wrote in Romans 8. He said the Lord is my salvation. And this not just speaks of deliverance from sins in the past. When we get saved. But this is also speaking of present deliverance from our enemies. We often overlook that. The word salvation in the Old Testament is used many, many, many times of present deliverance from affliction. And by the way, when I was running, I was saying over and over, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them to fear him and delivered them. I was saying it over and over just to comfort my mind. I was just like, the Lord is what? He's got me compassed about. He's watching me, and I have nothing to fear. And that second phrase, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Hebrew word here for strength, it speaks of safety, protection, refuge, or a stronghold. You know, when the Lord is our stronghold, when he's our refuge, our protection, of whom shall I be afraid? And so when the devil bombards us today, when he bombards us today with all the news that we hear, and the devil sends these thoughts to our mind about that get us to give in to fear. How do we overcome? I want you to notice what he said in verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I want you to notice that last phrase, in this will I be confident. The word confident here means I will trust, I will be bold, I will be secure. He's referring back to what he just said in verse 1 and 2. He said, my heart's not going to fear. Why? Because he's going to trust in God. He's going to put his faith in the Lord. There's a verse I want to refer you to, and I'll put it up here. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Have you ever quoted that verse in times of fear? It's a good verse to memorize. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. When we get these fearful thoughts, when we fear for our kids, if they're going to be okay, and we're fearing for our future, our health, we need to calm our hearts with trusting the Lord. There's a second psyop that Satan uses against us, and that's deception. I believe fear is a big one, but deception is also a very important psyop tactic used by enemy forces. This is used in warfare. I mean, a lot of times they lie to the opponent to deceive. Deception is very important in warfare. And our enemy, the devil, he is especially known for his deception and lies. For example, in Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." He deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. You may ask where I got this thought in verse 11. Let's read verse 11. In Psalm 27, David prayed, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." I want to break that down just real quick. Teach means to point out, to show, to direct. He said, "God, I want you to point out, I want you to show me, I want you to direct me in your way." And then he says, "Lead me." Lead means to guide, to lead forth in a plain path. Plain meaning a level path, a clear path. Now the key is that last little phrase there, because of my enemies. Why did David pray for God to make the path clear? Because the enemy uses deception. The enemy confuses us about which path to take. That's part of his psyop. He wants to confuse us so that we won't act upon or act by faith in the Word of God. He wants to confuse the path. He wants to confuse what God's will is for us. He wants to control us. He wants to deceive us. You know, the enemy, he seeks to control us by misdirection and confusion. That's what he does. Misdirection and confusion. Let me just give an example. This is just an example, and I'm not going to be controversial, and I'm going to be, since we do go on YouTube, I'm not going to use the real word because I don't want to be marked and maybe even cut off. But I'm just going to say the jab. You know what the jab is. And so there's confusion about whether to get it or not get it. And I'm not going to say what my position is. And it's your own decision. I mean, you can listen to what I'm using it as an illustration. Doctors will say this about it. And you're like, wow. And then you'll have another doctor who will counter that and say something totally different. You're like, And so it's like there's confusion sometimes when it comes to should I not? That's just an example. There's so many things out there like that. So many things that just, it can be confusing. There is truth out there. But the enemy wants to keep us confused. Not just about those issues in our life, but about our walk with God and about what God wants us to do. And as it pertains to the mission God has set us on, he wants us to get misdirected, to get off of God's path. So how can we counteract this sop of deception? That's the question we should ask. How can we counteract this? How can we overcome Satan's deception? Well, first, by prayer. This is what David did. The enemies were trying to confuse and trying to deceive and misdirect. And so what did David do? He prayed and said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." So we ask God to teach us, to show us. We depend on him. You know, if you go to James 1, I really love this verse. But James 1, he talks about, you know, diverse temptations. He's talking about a diversity of trials that we go through in the Christian life to count it all joy. But when it comes to, so the context here is trials and the diversity of trials and temptations. And so he comes to verse 5, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." So the Bible tells us if we lack wit, ask God. You know, sometimes that's the best thing to do. You know, we can get on the internet and search all day long and read all these articles, this and that, and be more confused than ever. There are times that I prepare for preaching, and it's like, you know, even for tonight, I was preparing to preach on idols of the heart, and I just didn't have a peace, and I was just struggling, and so I stopped and just said, "Okay, Lord, you're going to have to show me." And so he started leading me down this path in Psalm 27. You know, even your pastor, at times I wake up and I have fears. Sometimes I get up like fears start to overtake. And this morning I got up at 2:30 and couldn't go back to sleep. I got in bed and I was rolling around. I thought, I'm going to wake up my wife, so I just got up. I got up and went in the living room, sat for a couple hours and just prayed, and finally, about 4:30, I was ready to go back to bed. And went back to bed for a few hours, but well, there's a lot of things going through my mind, and so this is the message God gave me. I mean, it's because I said, "Lord, you're going to have to show me. You know what we need. You know what we're facing is in our personal lives as a church. You know what's going on all around us, and we need be aware of our enemy and what he's trying to do." But another way is by the truth. You know, the primary way that we overcome lies is truth. I mean, that's simple enough, isn't it? You know, Jesus, when he was praying, we looked at Sunday, John 17, when he was praying for his disciples, and he prayed to the Father, "Father, keep them from the evil." You remember that? He wanted the Father to protect them from the evil one in particular, Satan. But you know what he prayed right after that? "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There's a connection there, I believe. How are we protected from the evil one? By the truth. By the truth. It is the truth. John 8:32 says that will make you free. Knowing the truth, that is. That's the only thing that's going to set us from the lies of the enemy. So David praying here, "Teach me thy way." What is he asking? "God, I want you to show me the truth, the right way, the clear path. Because the enemy is making it confusing for me." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, strongholds, casting down imaginations." I want you to notice that. Casting down imagination. This is talking about thoughts. "And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So as part of this warfare, this psyop, we have to cast down every imagination that's a lie, every imagination that's a fear, all those we have to cast down, because Satan wants to build a stronghold in our minds. If he can build a stronghold of fear, if he can build a stronghold of deception and lies, he's got you. He's got you. That's where the battle's won or lost. So casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. We have to take every thought captive. Every thought captive. So spending some time in prayer and the Word is very important. Meditation in the Word is very, very important. Memorizing Scripture is very, very important, because when those fears come, verses like Psalm 127:1 can come back to your mind. "The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I be afraid? At what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." See, that's how you overcome it. That's how I overcame my fear of running. Really, honestly, I was quoting Scripture. I didn't want to get eaten by a dog. I wasn't scared of any monsters, so to speak, or anything like that, or Sasquatch coming out of the woods there. I mean, you got to realize this is Georgia. There's trees everywhere. I mean, it's dark in there. But the dogs are my greatest fear. I was thinking they was going to come hunt me down. But anyhow, quoting Scripture just calmed me. The last one we're going to look at that Satan uses is despair. He wants us to give up. In verse 13, David said, "I had fainted unless..." I'm going to just stop there. "I had fainted," which means to lose heart, to despair, to be dejected. This is a subtle tactic of the enemy to get us to lose heart, to despair, to give up, to get out of the fight. There have been many times that I wanted to get out of the fight. Have you? I'm sure it is true of every Christian. I read something some pastor shared on Monday. I can't remember exactly what it said. I was trying to remember now, but it was encouraging. It was a word to pastors. Because Mondays is sometimes hard for pastors. They have a spiritual high on Sunday, and then Monday, it's just like, they have all kinds of, it's just like you just go down to the valley and get all kinds of thoughts. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to lose heart, just to give up. That's what he wants you to do. In warfare, this is a tactic. If they can get the other side to lose courage, to lose heart, to think, there's no way we can win, it's over. When they get to that point, it is over. When we get to the point in our Christian life, we despair, it's over. Until we turn back to the Lord. But that's what the devil wants. That's what our enemy wants. And I want to just say he's relentless. And our warfare will continue until Jesus calls us home. You're not going to get to the place in your spiritual life where you get so mature that you're not going to ever face any of these. You're going to face these every day of your Christian life until Jesus comes. Every day. You can get close to God. The devil's going to come back another angle, and he's going to come back in this sob of fear and deception and despair. He's going to try to get you down. Because he's relentless. But we must not despair, because Jesus already won the war. He won on the cross. Victory for us. You know, someone said that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. If you're saved, Jesus already won the war. We may lose a battle here and there, but we won the war. In the end, Jesus is going to win. We just sang about it, didn't we? We're going to get to heaven and we're going to win. I mean, no more tear, no more pain, no more saying goodbyes, and no more fighting with this flesh, no more tempter, no more devil, no more warfare. But until then, we have to keep trusting, serving every day. Trusting. That's a big word in that song. Trusting. What kept David from despair? Trusting. There was a belief and faith that he would see the goodness of the Lord, not just in eternity, but in the land of the living, right now. Let's read that again. I fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, it was not something that David was seeing at that time, because if you'll look at it, he had believed to see. He was believing. He was going to see it. Even though at the moment he wasn't seeing it, because of his enemies and all that was going on around him. But he believed. He trusted that he was going to see the goodness of God. I was able to watch the testimony service, camp testimony service last night, and it was hard to watch without tears. I mean, that was a blessing. I'm so thankful to those kids, all the goodness of God, and tasting, seeing that the Lord is good. We need to see that. God shows us from time to time. We get to taste it, and it's that faith in the Lord and His goodness that keeps us from despair. So when that battle's raging against us, we don't despair, but we wait on the Lord. And He tells us, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, there are times that we just have to wait when we don't understand. Times that fears just are Fears within, fears without. Paul said that in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, talking about all his battles that he was facing. He had fears within and fears without. And we're going to have that. But we have to wait on God. We have to trust. Be of good courage. That means don't give up. Don't despair. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. In The Art of War, it was written over 2,000 years ago by Sun Tzu. I may not pronounce that right, but his name. But he wrote, "Know thy enemy and know thyself." There's wisdom in those words. Know thy enemy and know thyself. So it's important that we know the psyop tactics of our enemy. And it's important that we know our weaknesses, our weakness to succumb to his attacks of fear, deception, despair. We need to know that. "He that sinketh, he standeth, take heed lest he fall." I mean, pride will bring us down. Don't think that you're strong. Satan will come and knock you down. We have to know our weakness. Humbly depend on the Lord. Resist the devil, submit to God. I love this truth. The battle is the Lord's. And we can only overcome fear, deception, despair through his power and through the truth. The battle is the Lord's. I like that. That's what God told Jehoshaphat. They were overwhelmed with enemies and they began to fast and pray, and I just told the Lord, "Lord, we don't know what to do." That's one of the greatest prayers if you go read it in the Old Testament. It's in Chronicles, I believe. I don't remember 1st, 2nd Chronicles, but Jehoshaphat, their families, they were all out there praying, and they said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you." But it's in that passage that the Lord encouraged them to trust him. He said, "The battle is the Lord's." And we need to be reminded of that. But the only way we can overcome fear, the only way we can overcome deception, despair, is through the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Knowing that our enemy, he's gonna use these psyops against us. Be aware of it. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be watchful. So next time fear comes, remember these truths. Remember what David learned. How he learned to trust in the Lord. How he professed, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You know, it's good for us to say that. Did you know it's good for us to say that? Like, if you're in a time when you're afraid, it's good for you to say it out loud. To read that out loud, to say it out loud, so you hear yourself saying. So like David said in his heart, what did he say? He said, "Well, I'm going to die at the hands of Saul one day." Don't be talking like that. Be saying, "The Lord is my life and my salvation." Say in your heart truth. Speak truth to your heart, to yourself, to your mind. Believe God and his word and overcome. Father, tonight we're so grateful for this wonderful song of trust. David, who went through some battles with many enemies on every hand, they used psyops on him, fear, deception, that confusion, misdirection, despair, But David learned to get the victory through his faith and trust in you. Lord, I'm thankful that you've given us these truths, though, that we can overcome these psychological tactics that are used by our enemy, the devil. God, help us to realize that it's in our hearts and minds where the battle is won or lost. But Father, I pray that you'd help us to be disciplined in our walk with you and our prayer time, our time in your word, meditation of the truths of your word, memorizing your word, speaking those things in our hearts so that we can overcome the devices of Satan so that he would not have an advantage over us. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for what you've given us, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.